Welcome to the Glenelg Hopkins CMA's podcast series on Landcare Leaders, where we're talking to landholders and community members who have invested in landcare in their local area and are reaping the biodiversity benefits. In this episode, we meet Peter Armstrong, who with his wife Jo runs a mixed farming operation north of Streatham in southwest Victoria. 30 years ago, Peter and Jo began planting trees on their farm to try and deal with salinity issues in their gully areas. Since then, they've planted anywhere between 250 and 1,000 trees a year and seen an improvement in the land's health, the diversity of animals on their farm, and has also meant an odd saline issue has actually raised its head.
Okay, well, we're here at Curra, Peter and Jo Armstrong. Peter, thank you very much for having us today and showing us around the farm.
No worries at all. Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your farming operation here and what you get up to.
So we do about half sheep and half cropping, and we try and give the paddocks a spell, obviously, with our sheep rotations as much as we can. So we try not to crop too often in one paddock, and just have a mix of wool, fat lambs, and wheat, barley, canola, and beans. That's probably pretty much routine for us. The beans are a little bit questionable. We haven't grown a good crop yet, so just waiting on that. But it is fantastic for the sheep afterwards. They seem to do very well on it. So that's one definite benefit with the beans. Yeah.
And right, so it's a mixed farming operation.
Definitely.
Here,
yep.
North of Streatham.
Yep. So try not to have all your eggs in one basket and make sure you can spread your risk as best you can. And, of course, this last 2 years has been a bit of a challenge, and having sheep has actually been handy but also costly as well, but at least it's paid some of the bills because they were selling quite well at different times. Yeah.
Now you've got a number of gullies that you've fenced off, like a lot of farmers have over the last 30 years, and you've been involved with Landcare for almost three decades now. I think you were talking about planting in 1997-98.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yep. Yeah, so what did you do a whole farm plan 30 years ago, or what was the process there?
No, these gullies were salty and they had rocks right down into the creek. So we just thought, well, we can't crop them and they're not really very productive. So we might as well just fence them off, fill it all up with trees and hope we keep the salt in the bottom of the creek and it doesn't go everywhere. So touch wood, up until very recently, that's worked quite well.
So what was the process? You fenced them off and with some Landcare support, put in various tree species. What did you put in?
Yeah, exactly. All eucalypts. There's wattles in there as well, but all absolute natives as best we can. Got some money from Landcare, did that section, and then they said, oh, well, that's great. We'll give you some money during the next section. So we just kept doing that until about 2 years ago, I suppose. We sort of stopped because it just got too dry and it wasn't worth doing. So, yeah, but we have always been putting trees in, yeah, just different numbers. Sometimes 1,000, sometimes 500, yeah, sometimes 250, basically. Yeah.
And mostly tube stock or
mostly
some
tube
direct
stock
feeding?
Yeah, but we did do a gully and some laneways with direct seeding, which actually was fantastic, and some ways you wonder why you don't do more, but yeah, it did work very well and still is. Yeah,
it looks like you haven't lost that many trees having had a quick look around.
No, it's been pretty good. One thing it's done is brought the kangaroos to us, but I mean, I suppose they were going to be here anyway. When everybody got out of sheep pretty much and we all went cropping, the kangaroos all turned up. Yeah, Jo turned up here in 1990 and she said, how often do you see a kangaroo? And I said, oh, you might see one a year. And now we'd have 10 or 20 run around on the farm all the time, just about. So that's certainly a big change as far as that went, the kangaroo front. Yeah.
Now, we'll get to the salt in a minute, but in terms of dual benefits of farming and conservation, or cropping sheep and fencing off the gullies and planting trees, what have been the dual benefits? Have you seen dual benefits through that time?
Oh, I think definitely as far as to try and stop the place just being windswept, because it was so totally open when we came here. And it's definitely a big help for the sheep, summertime and wintertime, to have cover and to be able to get in cover. And then I think even when you're spraying and stuff like that, spraying your crops, sometimes it's handy because it'll block out the wind a bit and gives you more time than you normally would have. So, I think it's great. Yeah.
So 30 or 40 years ago, there was much discussion about salt. People were worried about salt encroaching into farmland, and that's been
definitely
your experience, and that's partly why you were planting those trees.
Yeah, exactly.
And what has happened in that 30 years as those plantations have established? What have you noticed?
So where it was getting up sort of towards the top of the hills or the top of the gullies, that once we got enough trees planted, all of a sudden that seemed to drop it back into the creek, suck up that water table enough and just kept it under control, which has been, well, fantastic. It did exactly what we hoped. Yeah. So, no, it certainly did the trick. Yeah.
But in recent times,
so after those three La Ninas in a row, and then we've just had obviously two very dry years, but all those gullies are all full of water again. And I'm not sure where the water's come from and where it's going, but it's actually in one place, it's creeping back up the gully and getting wetter again. So I'm not sure what I'm doing here. Yeah.
So you'd like a bit of feedback on that, but you're also noticing that the scalded area or the salt has started to creep up the gully past the tree,
through the trees and keep going up the gully. It doesn't seem to be going up the hill much, but it's certainly going up the gully. Yeah.
What, have you got any ideas?
No,
so it's a bit of a mystery.
It is. As I said, I don't know whether the roots have gone down so far that they've opened up the soil a bit and let the water out that was always been there, but maybe it's exposed it more and let it out. I don't know. And why it's doing it in dry years, I don't even get that at all.
So it's had the opposite effect of what has been going on for the last 25 years,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Don't know. I haven't got an answer for you.
Have you? Right. And what do your local sort of land care people have to say about it? Have you brushed it with them?
Well, I've certainly mentioned it with a few different ones, and no one's actually got an answer for me at this stage.
So, well, we can put the call out now and say, could you please come and solve this issue? How much does it worry you?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't want that to keep going like it's going. Like, that'll head up into that dam, I reckon, the way it's going at the moment. That's only been the last 2 years it's started doing that. Yeah. And then that dam will be salty, and then it'll probably keep going.
So you want to cut it off?
I do. I thought the amount of trees, 1,000 trees we'd put in there, would have stopped it, but now it seems to be having the opposite.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's been a massive conservation effort over the 3 decades. Have you got a rough idea of just how much fencing and how many trees you put in through that time? It'd be a mighty number.
Would I? No, I don't really. Sorry, I can't help you with that. But I think we've got about 56 acres, I think, now of trees, I think. And as I said, it's all pretty much stuff that we couldn't crop anyway. Yeah. And a tree goes in every 3 metres. And, there would be a lot of fence and a lot of trees. I don't know.
I might refer to Jack for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jack and your other children, how do you feel about the future with this particular farm? Obviously, you've got a number of family members interested in agriculture?
Yeah, I have. No, there's definitely keen to go. One's at uni at the moment up in Wagga, and he'll be home at the end of the year. And Jack's at home now full time and has been for 3 or 4 years.
The developing natural capital sort of markets in terms of a market that recognises farmers as stewards and managers of an ecosystem and the biodiversity within that. Is that something that interests you and Joe? Is there something, have you had any interaction with people that say, gee, you've got good biodiversity on this farm?
Well, I haven't had anybody say that, but that's, for me, it's very important that I've got a well, everything works in cycles for me, and you've got to look after everything, all the insects, whatever it is, that all part of the whole show, and they've got to have somewhere to live. So trees are part of that for sure, and birds are part of that. It's all, to me, very important that you make sure they've got a home, and look after the soil as best we can, and try and use little amount of pesticides as we possibly can if we can help it. Yeah.
Have you noticed a change in the number of birds and the variety of birds that you've had here in the last 30 years?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, there's definitely a lot more parrots and stuff. Not so much cockatoos, but a lot of parrots. And topmop pigeons and seem to be fairly common now around here, which they weren't once. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of birds.
And, well, you mentioned the bravas as
exactly.
well.
So that yeah, are, that's true. There, yeah, so. No, the bravas are usually here, and there's eagles always fairly close handy. Saw two this morning out in the paddock. So, yeah, they're never far away. Yeah.
And how does that make you feel, bring that nature back?
Well, I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Makes me feel good. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Well,
you know, we are here to look after the land. That's our job. I mean, I went to Scotland back in 2009, I think, and all our forebears were all farmers. I mean, we just obviously love farming, and that's what we do. And then we came out here. But if you don't look after the land, well, it's not going to look after you. So that's just terribly important. Yeah.
And what are the future projects in that regard? Into what do you have? What would you like to see in the next 10 years in terms of looking after your farm?
Well, we'll definitely do more trees. Is just always on our list of things to do, and try and probably have more perennial pastures in our system than we've got to try and be more sustainable as far as our stock are concerned. Because the annuals just don't last, obviously, long enough during the year to try and cut down our feed budget for the stock we've got. Yeah, I would love to see someone somewhere along the line please understand how good wool is, and you know, we wear it every day us out here, and it's so durable, reliable, and keeps you warm, and it's just a natural fibre, and it's a natural thing. I'd just love to see that somehow we could get that out there and make sure people get on board a bit with it.
Fully biodegradable?
Fully biodegradable, 100%
natural.
Yeah. It's not plastic. It doesn't end up in the ocean. Yeah, no, it's gold, this stuff. Yeah.
About time we're paid for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for showing us around today. Congratulations on what has been a monster project over 30 years to fence off all those gullies and plant those trees and make a real haven for nature and stock. And all the very best to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Maurice, and thanks for coming out and having a look around. It's great to be able to show someone, yeah, what we've done, yeah, over the years. Yep, appreciate it.
It's certainly been a dual benefit for Peter and Joe. And if anyone has any ideas around his new saline creep issue, let us know by sending an email to ghcma@ghcma.vic.gov.au. Our thanks to Marius Cumming, who's conducted this series of podcast interviews for the Glenelg Hopkins CMA. You can find out more about Landcare and the other Landcare leaders being showcased as part of this series by visiting ghcma.vic.gov.au or by following us on any of the main social media channels.